Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bush hitting 276. We're ready to go with the first pitch by Peralta. Hit in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Cubs lead 1-0. Michael Bush cracking a home run on the game's first pitch. And the Cubs have an immediate 1-0 lead. And listen to the Cub fans hear it. American Family Field.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
For a series that the Cubs lost and got beat up pretty badly in the first two games, they lose 2 out of 3 to the Milwaukee Brewers in the series. Taking that all into account, there were a lot of significant things that occurred in today's Cubs game. A 10-3 loss or win over the Milwaukee Brewers, which you heard right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And to talk more about this game and about the Cubs and about the trade deadline is somebody who covers the Cubs every single day and who is at Miller Park documenting the Cubs and Brewers over the last 3 days. She is Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. She joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Megan, how are you? Are you even back in Chicago yet?
No, I'm not. I'm on the road back.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling us. How's the traffic? Everything smooth out there? I know that the cops can get a little ticket happy on that ride back. Trust me, I know all about the ride from Wisconsin back to Chicago. They're out to get us, Megan.
Yeah, so far so good. It's a little rainy, but we'll see once I get closer to Chicago how the traffic holds up.
Yeah, I got you. So I just mentioned that, like, I thought a lot of significant things happened in today's game. And I could just sort of close my eyes and pick one of the things that I have jotted down. But I guess I'll start with Kyle Tucker, because he had been in a relative slump, gets a big two-run double in the sixth inning to make it 8-3. How much did you need to see that out of Tucker today?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, you know, the walks, spice, his struggles this month have pretty consistently been there. So I think just the way that, you know, he barreled some balls today was really encouraging. He talked about that after the game, that, you know, earlier this month he felt like he was just missing with timing and with missing some hittable pitches. They said this series is starting to feel a little better. So him getting on track would obviously be huge for them. They really missed his plug at the lineup. And then, obviously, Michael Bush, I think, obviously huge first pitch of the game, the home run. He's been a little bit in a funk lately, too. And so, really, I mean, you look at that top of the lineup, say it's Suzuki again, another one of the guys that just hasn't looked right the last couple weeks. Yeah, I think today was a big win on a lot of levels, as you alluded to, but definitely Tucker looking more locked in offensively is pretty important.
No doubt. And they call up Moises Ballesteros, and what a hit, man. I mean, 3-run double in the gap to make it 5-1. What do you think about Ballesteros today?
I mean, it was super impressive in that, not only given the fact that he roughly got 3 hours of sleep, had a great 3 a.m. wake-up call to fly from Des Moines to get to Milwaukee in time for the day game. But just that he put together against that caliber of a pitcher, you know, falling behind 1-2, you know, taking an opposite field double with the base loaded on a changeup, up and out of the zone. I mean, it was just all around a really great piece of hitting. You can see why he's had so much success at AAA at only 21 years old and why they think so highly of him as a hitter. And you know, he talked about before the game just about getting the ball back after getting a brief taste in May, that he just felt more calm, you know, just felt a little more prepared of what to expect at this level. And I think that really came through in that moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Good to see it. We know that he hit stuff the first time around, but he just didn't hit it hard enough. And today there was a certain amount of confidence, as you said, in the at-bat, and then just a beautiful piece of hitting. And there's nothing like a bases-clearing double, and that's what Moises Ballesteros got. Last guy I want to ask you about as far as the game is concerned, and we might circle back to some more of it, but I want to go big picture with you in a minute. Shota Imanaga, what did you make of his performance today? For people who don't know, 5 innings, 3 runs. Runs, 5 hits, struck out 8, walked nobody in the game. But what did you think about his performance today, his second start since returning from his injury?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a huge outing for him after, you know, how his start against the White Sox had went. You know, Fred Council talked about before the game that the best pitchers in the league, you know, when they have a rough outing, they come back the next day and you know, they're back to form. And so I think it was really huge for Imanaga to get right back into gear and really give them a start that they desperately needed. I mean, this was a huge game for them. They could have been 3 back of Milwaukee. And, you know, with the win, with Shota's performance, you know, really helping set the tone, you know, they go into the trade deadline just to gain back.
Megan, I was talking, obviously, as we're all talking about the trade deadline, and I think we all know exactly what the Cubs need, starter or starters. They could use somebody to hit the ball still, and like an Eugenio Suarez, and of course, relievers. But what are you hearing right now, and what are you expecting by 5 p.m. tomorrow when the trade deadline hits?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, I mean, we're seeing it around the league a little bit with the reliever market, the higher end of it starting today. And, you know, just talking to people around the league, I mean, there's so many teams that are looking for relief help, the Cubs among them. I mean, they have a really good setup right now going with Brad Keller, Cale Sealbar, and Daniel Valencia, you know, in high leverage spots to close out games. But, you know, they definitely could use another experienced reliever too. So obviously continuing to explore that market. And then beyond that, you know, I think that one of the biggest upgrades that they can make is finding, you know, another starting pitcher who, you know, is more than a number 4 or number 5, a guy that you would potentially want to start in a 3-game, 5-game, you know, playoff series. And so it'll be really interesting to see how they navigate that. I mean, the Cubs have the prospects to try and pry, you know, a controllable starter away from, you know, teams. Obviously, the most notable ones out there are the Nationals' Mackenzie Gore and the Twins' Joe Ryan. And so it'll be really interesting to see how they bridge the prospect capital. You know, I don't see them moving somebody like an Owen Casey or even a Moises Ballesteros for a rental. But, you know, they have a lot of different paths that they can take to improve the team. So it'll be really interesting to see ultimately what they settle on in the next 24 hours.
Megan, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you calling me, calling us while you are trying to drive home after working all night at Miller Park. So thank you. Drive safely, and I'm sure that we'll be hearing from you, and we will definitely be reading you in the Chicago Tribune. Thank you, Megan.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yep, that is Megan Montemurro. That's awesome. I love that kind of stuff, like where the reporter's driving back from Miller Park. I've done that before, driving back from Lambeau Field. I would call Grover back in the day. That's just fun stuff. I like it when it's a big sports community here, where they're playing the local rivals, and then we get the call back on the way home from Miller Park. But the phone was a little bit rough, so we let her go a little bit early. And I've got things to say here too. Still, I'm wrestling with this because I went through the whole litany of guys: the Dylan Cease, Zach Gallen, old Charlie Morton, Justin Verlander might be available now, Sandy Alcantara might be available now. And the point that I was making was that none of these guys have been good this year. But there is, as I mentioned earlier, you have to take into account the mood of these teams. These teams that are obviously not good. That does not help individuals to necessarily be at their best at times. It's not the same type of adrenaline. So you get the old scenery change. Could you get that bounce? Some of me believes in that, but most of me has not believed in that theory. And I'm more prone in this case just to look at the numbers and to go through the game logs of these players, of all those guys that I just mentioned. Like, they're all of them having mediocre, even bad years. Like, really, like in the case of Alcantara. And I get it. I know who he is. We all learned who he was in the playoffs, man. I mean, the Cubs played Sandy Alcantara back in the day. And it was like, who is this guy? Oh, well, he became a Cy Young Award winner. But he did have Tommy John. And this is his recovery year. So while presumably he's still under 30, he's still going to be good for probably a lot of years, but we don't know. We do not know at this point. And I don't know that he could just come in here and be a help to the Cubs now, which is what I'm talking about. So I've been kind of going back and forth on this a little bit with one of our colleagues. I was just talking to David Haw. He and I are always poking each other when we're on the air, or just kind of playing along. I think more playing along, I think, would be a better way to describe it. Haw reminded me of something. First of all, his text to me was, love your list, don't underestimate the change of scenery bounce. And I told him, look, I'm trying not to underestimate that, right? And then he reminded me, actually, I don't even know if I knew, like, this is not part of what I have stored away in my brain back to the famous Rick Sutcliffe trade. When the Cubs acquired Rick Sutcliffe in 1984, he went 15-1. He won the Cy Young. The Cubs win the division. All of that stuff. But Haw reminded me, is this Haw? Yeah, it's Haw. And he reminds me, Sutcliffe was 4-5 with an ERA over 5 when the Cubs traded for him in 1984. That's a long time ago. But that is it. That is an example of, wow, but there was nobody that was more made for that change of scenery. And hey, maybe the Cubs even did their scouting on Rick Sutcliffe, the person who, my God, like, he was such a cool customer when he was on the mound. Unflappable would be a word to describe Rick Sutcliffe. Like, you wouldn't even know he was that gregarious of a personality by the way he pitched, because it was just straight-laced, man. Very serious on the mound, but obviously very talkative and interesting and storyteller, all that. That is Rick Sutcliffe for sure. So that's a pretty damn good example. If I may also, while I'm keeping the Haw on the mind right now, coming up here in just a little bit, I see calls lining up here, so I'm tempted to grab a couple of those. But there was a moment today in the Cubs game, and I thought about Haw, and I thought about Bruce, the two stars of the Inside the Clubhouse program on Saturday morning starting at 9 right here on 670 The Score. They do a segment called, is it High Heat? No, it's, what is the segment?
Chin Music?
Oh, Chin Music. I said it earlier. High Heat. That actually wouldn't be bad.
I think that's a TV show on MLB Network. Oh.
You're probably right.
You got the deadline on the brain. It's okay.
I have conflated. I have done it. But yeah, they do a segment called Chin Music whenever there's like an incident in the game where somebody's firing on stuff. If there's a fight going on, if there's words exchanged, they'll do the segment. So they do it when it arises. I don't know if those two guys caught this today. So I'm going to do it. I'm stealing. But man, Ron Coomer going after Wilson Contreras for not running out of ground ball. Listen to Coom Dog.
Shota Imanaga. Here's a bouncer to third, backing up, gloving it nicely. Shaw, good throw to first, and it's just in time. The throw pulled Bush off the bag, and Contreras may not have been running at top speed.
Contreras didn't run at all, and that's an issue. He's done this all season long. Shaw slips as he fields the ground ball. Then the throw is off the bag wide. Contreras not running at all and is out by half a step because he just didn't hustle. He's jogging the whole way down there and then tries to speed up right at the last second and then grabs his bat.
Okay. Milwaukee is challenging the out call at first.
Is this play going to be reviewed and challenged by Milwaukee?
It sure might, but if he's safe, that's just... The baseball gods got that one wrong because he doesn't deserve to be safe after not hustling at all on that play. And then he came off the field. He came off the field, grabbed his back, and then came off the field because he was embarrassed. I'll tell you that, because he didn't run. And now he's going to go back out there maybe if he's safe. That's real close play.
As the batter runner was
after
coming down the line.
The field stands, the runner's out.
The runner is out.
He loses their challenge.
So Contreras did not hustle and pays the price.
High and inside. Arching music, a little chin.
Morning. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
David Hall.
Along with Bruce Levine. Marine.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Boy.
Ron Coomer's baseball sensibilities were damaged. He's like, I've had it. That's it. I've had it with this guy. He's done this before. I've had it. Man. I don't know, man. That makes me think when I hear Coomer go off like that, that there's other whispers that he heard probably. I'm just saying what I think. I did not talk to Ron Coomer. My guess is that there are whispers that have gone on in the before games. I don't know where or from whom, but yeah, you hear things, man, and that probably is something. My guess is that is universally a concern with William Contreras. And I don't know, maybe this is something that they've talked about in Milwaukee, and I'm just late to the party with the non-hustling William Contreras. That is not like the Contreras we know.
The throw pulled Bush off the bag.
Yeah, the Contreras we know, if nothing else, Wilson will hustle everything, and they'll kick your ass after it too. So, man, that caught my ear. That was my walk today. I was like, Coom Dog, giving it to me.
It felt like he'd just been biting his tongue for a little bit.
Yes,
and
that's
then,
what
like,
it was.
Right,
that's
and
then, it.
This kind of came to its head,
anymore.
And he was just like, all right. The pen flew against the wall. He took the headset off. He said, all right, I'm done. This is it.
He went George Bailey. No, I'm not going to sign anything. I'm not going to work for your stupid place, Mr. Potter. That's what happened. You can't handle the truth. You're darn right. All that stuff. The code red was ordered. Coom's like, that's it. Headphones are off, and I'm just going to yell into this microphone. But that was great. And it's really perfect, too. You know what? Maybe Ryan Sandberg was on Ron Coomer's mind, because that would have killed. That would have killed Ryan Sandberg, who everything was hustled out. Baseball was hard for Ryan Sandberg. So baseball sensibilities were insulted. It also reminded me of the time that Aramis Ramirez was jogging down to first base, and Bob Brenly said, run! Run! And I know that story expanded into some unfortunate things and accusations, but at the moment, it was funny. It was. And I love Aramis Ramirez, really, quite frankly, one of my favorite Chicago Cubs of all time.
Run! Run!
On your game! Sean Sears, your rhymes are on time tonight. I like that. That's amazing. So a little high heat right there. And I do apologize to inside the clubhouse with Haw and with Bruce Levine. And thank you for inspiring me just a little bit there, Mr. Haw. So I don't know. Like, I do. Coming full circle. Of course, I get the lights are on. And these guys who are ballers of competitors, starting with Verlander, you know, all these guys, Cease, Gallen, Morton, Mackenzie Gore. Now, Mackenzie Gore, by the way, he's not on that list of guys who have had bad years. I mean, he hasn't been like Cy Young, but, you know, 3.52 ERA, 4-10, 7 shutout innings against the Cubs. We saw him close up. But so he's not in that pack of guys who I have a higher standard for, some of these dudes, and then it just hasn't really come around. Maybe we'll talk more baseball later, but guess what? I want to talk more Bears. We all need more Bears. Caleb Williams was speaking today out at Halas Hall, so we will listen to some of that. But what I really want to get into with Caleb Williams, just for you guys, just for everybody listening, I want to give my best and most honest characterization of what I have seen from Caleb Williams in the four practices that I've watched out there at Halas Hall. I think I have it figured out, or a pretty good angle on Caleb Williams, and I'll share that with you next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I probably just see growth. He is so much more comfortable right now, even yesterday, the walkthrough yesterday, just in terms of moving around. You know, we go from gun to under to the tight ends are moving, the receivers are moving. We're adding a few more every single day. And so I think he's just, his process, and I told him this on the player day off, his process is really clean right now. I'm talking about how he's preparing. I'm really pleased with it. He's doing the work behind the scenes that no one else is seeing, and we're starting to see the dividends being paid from it.
That's Bears head coach Ben Johnson on the growth from Caleb Williams. I do like to hear that. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Chase on the mound. Chevy drives Chicago. Chevy. Chevy drives Chicago. And the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Shout out to my colleague, the host of the Midday Show, Marshall Harris, famously of the Rahimi and Harris Show, a show which I am proud to be a part of a couple of times a week. A shout out to him. He's playing along too, just like David Haw. I feel very listened to tonight, and I like that. But he pointed out too, because we're talking about all of these big name pitchers who've not had good years, and I am trying to track, like, have they played well lately? Because that's what matters. And I did have Charlie Morton on that list, and Marshall texted me and correctly said that, you know, he's had a good run recently, and I did respond to him. I literally had written down in my notes, and I couldn't read them, that he's had, Charlie Morton has had a couple of decent starts recently, and seems like he's on the come. So the baseball talk has been hot tonight. We are keeping an eye on everything that might be going on at the MLB trade deadline, which is tomorrow at 5. My guy Sean Sears on the other side of the glass class, taking care of all of that. I am Mark Grody. We're talking Bears here. Caleb Williams did speak today, and we're going to play a few cuts here. I have selected some prime cuts of Caleb Williams that I think you will enjoy. But here's what it is for Caleb Williams. If you are watching, just watching Caleb Williams and the Bears offense right now, does not look good. A lot of mistakes, a lot of incompletions, and not, I'll steal again, and not a lot of sizzle, as my partner on Take the North, our podcast, our Bears podcast, Take the North partner, Dan Weederer, Weedsy, that's how he described it. That's a great word for it. He's the word guy. Not a lot of sizzle from Caleb Williams, okay? So remember, doesn't look good, not a lot of sizzle, a lot of incompletions, plenty of mistakes. But if you look at it with the understanding that this is a new coaching staff headed by a brand new head coach with a new playbook, which is probably a little bit more advanced than his predecessor, for sure, new playbook, new coaching staff, new defense, new personnel. If you look at it that way, then follow along with what you're hearing from Ben Johnson. It is looking better in some ways. It is looking smoother in some ways. Progress is being made, but you got to look at it from that vantage point, or do you allow yourself to look at it from that vantage point? Now, I will say, I've been to 4 of the 7 practices. I have not seen these practices where Caleb Williams has supposedly looked better. And from what I understand from talking to people out there, that it does look better, that doesn't mean that it looks good yet. Still not good. And it can get there. Don't get me wrong. Like, I believe in a couple of things. I do believe that, yes, you can, Caleb Williams can learn this offense. And Caleb Williams, because of the spectacular talent that he has, he can learn it and he can still be great. I also believe in the theory of, well, we're talking about all these sports theories tonight, change of scenery, all that kind of stuff, that there can be that spontaneous moment where a guy that is as talented and as young as Caleb Williams, it can all of a sudden just click and be there and never look back. We were a little premature with that with Caleb Williams last year. I think a lot of people got there in the Jacksonville game. Like nobody was taking into account what was really going on that day. I didn't, because we were just so elated that Caleb Williams was so good. But you were playing a trash team in London, all that kind of stuff. But no, that was still, you can't take that away from Caleb. It was still a really good game. So there's two parts to it, and it just sort of depends on, do you have the faith that Caleb Williams will catch up? Because the disclaimer is real, but I'm just telling you what is happening out there, what it is. But all the disclaimers are there. All the caveats are there. All of that is there for you if you don't like it when I tell you that Caleb Williams hasn't looked great. You know, it's all there. It's all for you. Let's listen to a little bit of the audio. Where's my menu? I have a menu. Oh, there it is. I have a menu here with cuts that I have selected. Thank you to Sean Sears. You have prepared me well, young man. Let's start with because these are the parts, like, let's listen and take Caleb Williams's words seriously. I think it helps us all with trying to figure out the pace at which we should expect things out of Caleb Williams. He was asked, any carryover from what you learned last year?
No carryover from what you were taught last year to what you're being taught now. Does it feel that way to you? Like you are starting over, starting fresh?
Yeah, no, it feels, you know, every year is going to be a start fresh year in that sense. But, you know, with Ben, you know, him and I are going to be here, for a while, which is the plan. And, you know, there's going to be carryover from now on. But, it's different. It's a whole new playbook, different terminology, you know, different reads, you know, different footwork and, you know, different things like that. So, it was a lot, and it's still going to always be a lot. That's a part of, you know, playing this position. And so, being able to go out there and handle it all, is, you know, what we get paid to do. It's our job.
I don't know if I like I understand why he did. If I was up there, I probably would have done the same thing. But I don't like the way he's generalizing it. I don't like the way he's talking about every year it's going to be new, because anybody can get up there and say that. So, I mean, I think most people probably, because this is it. This is it. You really, because I can't do this. I can't look at Caleb Williams through the lens of this is his real rookie year and wipe the slate clean. Nothing happened last year. Like, this is, forget everything you learned. I cannot do that. I take into account what happened last year, the things that weren't in his under his control, things that were in his control. So that year happened. That year goes on his resume. That year goes down on footballreference.com. It's all there, and it's all part of it. And you can draw some conclusions from Caleb Williams's play from last year that should carry over, I think, when we're forming opinions on Caleb Williams. I'm sure it's vastly different from what he learned from Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus and that coaching staff and Thomas Brown later. But, you know, at some point in time, you just want to see Caleb Williams start to stack days together that look really good. Not with any disclaimers or, oh, he looked good in this period, but he didn't look good in the red zone period, looked great in 7-on-7. And then you sort of, you know, it's characterized as look good here, could have been better here. So I want to hear it, the reports, and give the reports, quite frankly, where we're not searching for the right adjectives to try to describe what happened out there to not be too severe one way or the other. Here's Caleb Williams on a really important part of this year, and that is playing under center, which is not something he's been asked to do a lot of in his career.
I think as of right now, I think I'm rolling. I'm pretty smooth with it as of right now. Obviously, you know, you want to be 100% when you're out there with the calls and hearing it and making sure. There's so many words that we have in our playbook, and you know, you put so many words together that sometimes they kind of sound the same. So just, you know, when you hear a play, you start to hear the play, it's like, okay, I know what the play is. I know exactly what we have. So, you know, it comes down to just a little bit more studying, comes down to a little bit more practicing, you know, a lot more reps and things like that over time. So, I think that's where it is. I think that's where, you know, it's at right now. And, you know, we're going to keep progressing. I'm going to keep progressing and getting after it.
And now we shall play the right cut. That cut is playing under center. Here it is.
There hasn't really been a challenge for me under center. I know that's been a big thing. But, you know, there hasn't really been a challenge. It's just been, you know, gaining the knowledge, you know, how, you know, the footwork, where we need to be, the landmarks of the running back, the landmark for me, you know, when I set up or when I, you know, when I'm rolling out or anything like that. So it's just been, you know, practicing the technique. What I like about it, you know, you get, you know, hard sell actions, backers biting, safety's eyes get, you know, crisscrossed with different motions and things like that. And, you know, it provides, you know, the defense actually identifies it differently from when you're a gun, back offset and things like that. So it's a bunch of small, minute things that end up mattering. And, you know, you end up having guys running free or you end up having great leverage on a safety or things like that. So it's, you know, it's helpful. You know, it's going to be a part of us for a long time.
I'll say this about Caleb Williams, and this goes back to last year. He speaks the game very well. Like, you could hear the aptitude and the football intelligence. Like, it sounds like he understands what is expected of him. He understands what he is looking for from a defense. So I do think that that's pretty important, like just to know that he knows what he's supposed to see and what he is supposed to do and how it is supposed to look, even if the execution is not completely there yet. And there is plenty of time for him to get that execution down. I think tomorrow, by the way, and we are radiothon tomorrow after Molly and Haw starting at 10 a.m. with Rahimi and Harris. But tomorrow is supposed to be a pretty big practice. Fans will be out there. Apparently, Ben Johnson's going to have him go a little bit longer, and there could be some live tackling too, like real tackling as opposed to thud and take it easy. I mean, you're always watching it a little bit in training camp practices. I mean, that's when the fights occur if somebody takes something a little bit too seriously.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They should be out there every night. They should be crunching it. They used to have four-a-days back in the day in Platteville. Pads crushing. It is like, I'm not going to be out there tomorrow because I'm part of this radiothon.
Unbelievable.
Which I'm happy to be part of, but it will be interesting. There's been many times, and this is not a shot at the coaches, it's just the nature of the NFL, with, I'd say, both of his predecessors, with Matt Eberflus and with Matt Nagy. Like, when it really came down to those days that they were saying, okay, we're going live today, we're going to be hitting out there, it's always disappointing. It's all like, occasionally there'd be a hit, but it never okay, this is football now, and it never really, it still doesn't feel like real football a lot of the
that
times.
Thud everyone talks about, you're not hearing the thuds.
The thud. Thud's a great word. Thud. That's what a thud sounds like.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just like that. Just like that. But so we'll see. So in other words, tomorrow could be a day that you should pay attention to the reports. Pay attention to Chris Emma, what he's writing out there. I have been told, actually, that we will have two big-time score people, not me, out at Halas Hall tomorrow.
Wow.
Well, three, I guess. You got Chris Emma, who's always out there. Lawrence Holmes is going to be out there tomorrow. And I have just received a text from Anthony Heron that he will be making his appearance out at...
Big
Ant is back in town. And he has got some things that...
protect your quarterbacks. Big Ant's around. He's coming to sack him.
Yeah, Ant's going to go out there, and then he's going to report and tell us what it's really all about. All this crap that we've been talking with. No. Big Ant never wants to hear it. He'll tell us what's absolutely going on. When we return here, we are going to have, coming up at... let me tell you a couple things that we have happening. Definitely more Bears talk at 8 o'clock. With Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network. I know that Rick Hahn was speaking today, which is very interesting. I love it. Like, when you get the controversial guys in Chicago, and I guess that's what Rick Hahn is, because he oversaw a rebuild that didn't work and then was, ooh, got fired, and now he's working for MLB Network. But he's talking about Luis Robert. So we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. But next, I do want to share some of my thoughts about Ryan Sandberg, who we lost, that he died. And Ryan Sandberg is a guy that I knew a little bit from doing post-game, and we had something of a personal relationship and did a lot of work together. So I would like to share a little bit on Ryan Sandberg when we return here.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford, who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The score. Hello, Rhino, and welcome into a salute to Sandberg. That's you.
Hey, Mark, appreciate that. And, you and I go back a little bit, and I gave you a little tidbit early on where my nickname was Sandy. I know that you had a blast with that.
I sure did.
Now the last 42 years, Rhino, that'll work. But it's nice to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I don't know why I had like get a kick out of the Sandy thing, just because you are Rhino. Before you became this prolific player and Hall of Famer, you were just Sandy from the block, basically.
Through the minor leagues, it was Sandy, just my last name with a Y at the end of it, so Sandy. And then Harry Carey in 82 dubbed me Rhino, and that stuck ever since my rookie season.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He's Rhino! I thought it was funny because I've only known him as Rhino. Quite frankly, I'll just say it. Sandy sounded soft. It just did. It's his last name, Ryan Sandberg. That's why. But when your name is Rhino, and then he's like, oh, yeah, they used to call me Sandy. I was like, no, man, that doesn't sound right to me. It just doesn't. I don't care what you say about that. So
Sandy from the block.
Sandy, do you like that? It's kind of true. He was just Sandy from the block once he retired, but he was Rhino as a player. Isn't that the truth? I got like really good stories about Rhino and stuff that I actually talked about on Harrison Rahimi that I probably will share these stories again tonight because they're hilarious. Like Ryan Sandberg, my interactions with Ryan Sandberg. But, you know, when you have a day of eulogizing somebody that you like, it's while it sucks and it's horrible and it's so sad that we lost Ryan Sandberg, but when these things occur, the stories are amazing, especially about people who seem like they really were genuinely good people, because you're not going to hear a lot of bad about people when they die. Everybody's a great person and the greatest person ever, but in some cases it feels genuine, and I'm choosing to believe that a lot of what I heard about Ryan Sandberg yesterday and what I know about Ryan Sandberg is genuine. But I feel like I learned something. There's a lot of stuff that was repeated yesterday, and we know the hits. We play the hits with Ryan Sandberg, right? With the Sandberg game and his MVP, his retirement, his effort to try to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs. You know, they wanted Mike Quaddie in here, so they went Mike Quaddie. But we understand, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all know about the Sandberg story. So while I listen with a slightly different ear, I listen to hear things that maybe I didn't necessarily know about Ryan Sandberg. And one of the things that I guess I didn't know about Ryan Sandberg is I don't think Ryan Sandberg had a lot of fun playing baseball. He was great at baseball. I don't know if he ever had fun playing baseball. And the person that really hit that home for me was the guy who wrote his Hall of Fame speech, who wrote a book with Ryan Sandberg, who covered every year of Ryan Sandberg's baseball life, was Barry Rosner, who was on the afternoon show yesterday and said this about Ryan Sandberg.
What makes me most sad about this is that he was in such a good place in his life. I tried to describe to you, and maybe I did a poor job, of how difficult it was for him to be a baseball player. You know, he admitted many times that he didn't have enough fun while he was playing, but the game was just so hard that there wasn't room for that in his, you know, in his world at the time. The game was really hard. He climbed to, you know, he was a 20th round draft pick because they thought he was playing football. So he climbs every level of the minor league system and the Philly system. He is blocked by numerous shortstops there, has no future in the Philly system. After being great at every level of the minors, he gets to the majors, and then he's traded to the Cubs. And he gets to spring training, and he's got five gloves because no one knows what position he's going to play, and ends up playing third base with a week left in spring training. And was terrific, by the way. Moves to second at the end of that year. He has this phenomenal 20-year professional career. He retires and breathes a deep sigh of relief. Then comes the Hall of Fame, gives the speech, deep sigh of relief. And now what am I going to do with the rest of my life? He decides he wants to manage. What does he do again? He starts at the very bottom of the minor leagues, spends 5 years in the minors, climbs every single level, does everything the way he's supposed to. The Cubs say, we don't care. We're not interested in you. He goes to the Phillies. Reaches his goal, makes it to the major leagues. He always had goals, and he always took all these steps. Reaches the major leagues. It doesn't work out for whatever reason. It was an old team. It was a bad team. He was a guy who developed young players, so it was not a great fit, whatever. He leaves the Phillies. He comes back here. He calls me. He says, you think they would let me back in? I said, I'm sure they would. I'll call Theo. I call Theo. I tell Theo, hey, he just wants to come back. He doesn't want to work. He just wants to be part of the family again. The Cubs bring him back in. He gets a ring. And now everything in his life is perfect. He's got a wife that he loves. numerous kids, all these grandkids. He's living the best life that he could possibly live, finally, with no pressure and nothing in his life except happiness.
That's great. I mean, that is something like I didn't necessarily knew. Like, I knew how serious Ryan Sandberg was as a player just from following him and reading about him, you know, in all, you know, from all the beat writers as a kid and, you know, listening to him and all that stuff. Like, he just came across as boring. I mean, he did, but that's the texture that I'd like to get now. Like with somebody like Ryan Sandberg, what is it about him that I didn't know? And I think that that's huge. Like, think about that, because there's probably tons of athletes, professional athletes, that don't necessarily like their job, that it's hard, that it's stressful, that it's a lifestyle where you become all consumed with it. Now, we know that that's not the case for every single player, but and probably not for most. I think most guys who play professional sports probably enjoy the job, but there are many, just like in any profession, that it's not because he didn't like baseball. I understood the spirit of what Barry Rosner was saying. He, of course, Ryan Sandberg loved baseball, but baseball is a really hard job. In the end, from my eyes, not knowing Ryan Sandberg as well as Barry Rosner did, Ryan Sandberg is a guy who finally, at some point, accepted life on life's terms. That he was this great baseball player who wanted to be a manager badly, doing whatever he had to do to become a manager, didn't work until he was with the Phillies. Ultimately, that didn't work, and I have my theories on why that didn't work with the Philadelphia Phillies. And then, you know what he did? He knocked on the Cubs' door eventually and said, you know what? I just want to be Ryan Sandberg. I want to have this relationship with the fans that has been one-sided, probably. And again, not a knock on Rhino. It's just the way it was. A one-sided relationship of adoration towards Ryan Sandberg that he reciprocated, that he got to reciprocate. And so if you're Ryan Sandberg, good. He didn't leave anything undone, I feel like, in terms of what I saw. That what a relationship he had with fans, as good as any relationship of any Chicago player to their respective team in this town. And that's why I was really happy for Ryan Sandberg. He became a happy person who unbuttoned the top button on his shirt, who laughed, who talked about, I got to tell this story later, who laughed about marijuana. So I'll tell you the marijuana story. I'll tell you the jacket story. It's all coming up a little bit later, but we got to talk more Bears. We got a traffic and weather together and Bears. We will talk to Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network next.
Absolutely. The Bears.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.